Life's better with American Family Insurance because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Really try to see what the streets are telling you. Like, see if there are any little clues. It's like basically putting together a puzzle. It's also about engaging all your senses. Like, so smell things. Like, see if the smell triggers something. Look at the signs. Look at the billboards. Like, if you see a stranger who looks kind of inviting, ask them the question.
Ask them your question. Exactly. See what their answer is.
Exactly.
Welcome to Jump Podcast. I'm your host, Traveling Jackie, and I'm here to explore travel, adventure, and lifestyle in ways meant to motivate you to move and get out and see the world. Let this show be a source of travel advice and inspiration, but remember that in the end, it's you who takes the leap. Hello from Sweden. I am currently in Gothenburg, West Sweden, for the Adventure Travel World Summit, which is a conference that I attend every year in different locations all over the world. And this year, I got to participate in a special session during the conference, which has actually inspired this episode. And the session is called Street Wisdom, and it's all about simply tuning in to what is happening around you so that you can uncover answers to your current pressing questions in your life, whether they are work-related or personal or whatever they are. Street Wisdom is basically a tool that you can use wherever you are to pay attention to signs that may help you on your way. And I got to do this in the beautiful city of Gothenburg. Our hotel where the conference is right next to the main train station in a big plaza with some other hotels and shops close by. There are lots of trams going through, people on bikes, walking. There are a couple bridges over a canal, and there's a garden on the other side of the canal. So as you listen to this episode, you can try to imagine us starting outside the hotel in this plaza and walking through the streets with shops and cafes and along the canal with the garden on the other side. And I actually decided to share this with you while I was doing this the other day. So we have some recordings live from the day that I did it. And I asked Anya Mutic, who facilitated it for us. I asked her to chat with me to explain what it is for you. So we're going to go ahead and start there. And by the way, one more thing I'd like to add before we get into today's content. A huge thank you to all of you guys who commented or sent me a message after the last episode. I can't believe how much positive feedback I got from that. So thank you so much to every one of you who took the time to say something encouraging to me after listening to episode 123. It really means so much for me to hear from you. I truly appreciate it. You guys just rock. Today's episode is brought to you by Osprey Packs, and we're going to talk about what goes inside the pack, the absolute best way to pack anything, your backpack, your car, your tent, etc. In my opinion, is for everything to have a place and to always be put back in that place. It saves so much time and frustration if you can just find your things where they're supposed to be. This is where in-pack organization like Packing Cubes really comes into play. If you open my pack, it looks like a bowl of Skittles because there are colorful packing cubes everywhere, keeping all my stuff neatly organized. I usually organize each clothing cube by activity or by temperature, like sweaters and jackets together, running clothes together, etc. And then I keep electronics and documents and toiletries and all my gadgets in specific cubes as well. Osprey has a whole lineup of these travel accessories and packing cubes, including compression sacks, dry sacks, garment folders, ventilated shoe cubes. Yeah. Stuffable duffels or day packs or tote bags, document and electronic organizers, and a lot more. I remember when I didn't believe in packing cubes, and I feel silly about that now. They not only truly can save space, but I love How they keep everything nice and organized. I'm currently traveling with a ton of these inside of my Fairview Trek in Europe right now. I'm a big fan. So thanks again to Osprey for supporting the show. If you're not following them on Instagram yet, go give them a follow at Osprey Packs. You might just see my face come across their feed every now and then. And you can find all these packing, hacking accessories that I'm talking about on their website at osprey.com. And you can find more about my personal involvement with Osprey and reviews of my packs at travelingjackie.com/osprey. This episode is also brought to you by Grail. These guys make water purifying easy, no matter where you are. They just came out with a new purifier bottle called the GeoPress. It is a 24-ounce bottle that works sort of like a French press for water purifying. It's essentially how this bottle works. You fill the shell of the bottle and then you press the filter cartridge, which has its own shell, down to the bottom. And the water goes through the filter and sits inside the inner shell and you drink out of a nice little capped opening on the top. And it removes all types of waterborne pathogens, bacteria, and even viruses. It's super quick. It only takes a matter of seconds to fill and press, and then you're ready to drink. I have one and I've taken it camping with me this summer. And I have said this before, but my favorite thing about it is just that it enables me to stay hydrated because I don't know if you do this, but when I'm camping or in the backcountry, I tend to conserve my water and I don't drink as much. And ultimately that leads to dehydration. But with the GeoPress, I was able to refill as much as I wanted and stay hydrated. It's super, super simple and easy to use. And lucky us, because they're offering an exclusive discount just for us, 20% off using promo code JUMP on purifiers and replacement cartridges from Grail.com. Grail is also a member of 1% for the Planet and donates 1% of all sales towards the preservation and restoration of the environment, which is an extra reason to support them. So again, use promo code JUMP at Grail, GRAYL.com. Thanks to Grail for providing that special discount for us and creating such a great product. Okay, so I'm here with Anja Mutić. That's how you pronounce her last name, right? Uh-huh. Okay, she's from Croatia originally, and we're at this conference, the Adventure Travel World Summit in Switzerland. We're at the table for Switzerland. We're in Sweden right now. And we just finished a street wisdom session. I want to call it a session. Okay, that Anja led. And so I'm going to let her repeat the intro and the idea around what street wisdom is. So can you just tell us, like, what is it?
Sure. Yeah. Well, street wisdom is a really powerful and free way to get really important life questions answered through basically opening up to the signals that a street is sending you. I think a lot of us go through our everyday with the blinders down. We don't notice the rich stimuli that the streets have. And I feel that the streets are almost like an invisible university. Yeah. We can learn so much from them. So the idea behind Street Wisdom, which was founded by a man called David Pearl in London, he's a creative entrepreneur, is really a way of opening up our senses, sharpening up our senses, opening up to the environment, and basically altering your idea of reality and coming out with really big revelations to very major things, but through a very simple method.
Right. This is so cool. We just experienced this. So this is actually a session at this conference, which you've now repeated this session. Like, this was like your third or fourth time leading it, right?
Well,
at this conference?
This is the second time at a conference. I've done it like in different contexts for about 8 or 9 times.
Okay.
Yep.
So we started outside the hotel, literally right where we were. And what was the first? So this is a 3-hour thing.
Basically the way it works is that for the first hour, you walk around any urban environment and you walk with particular prompts in mind. So what I do as a facilitator, I send you out with a prompt and basically you open up to the street, to the signals. So that's for about 40 minutes. You're walking around with these 4 different prompts. And after these walks, you go out on your own. You go on an individual quest. And by that point, you should have your question. What's really important is to approach this with a bit of I guess it shouldn't be too much of a big life question. Like, what's the meaning of life? Try to make it more specific and really like not too open-ended, yeah. But because then it's easier to get the answer, right? So you go out on your own with a question, and it's amazing and magical and to me just incredible how many people get their questions answered.
Yeah.
Just by doing nothing, just walking around in an urban
and paying
environment.
Attention.
Exactly.
And listening, just
exactly.
tuning in.
And the idea behind street wisdom is really like you don't pay any fees, you pay attention. That's what we like to say.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
Okay, so the prompts.
So the first one that you go out with for 10 minutes is be drawn to what attracts you.
I loved this one. Yeah, so on this first one, maybe I'll just share what I did along the way. There's in Gothenburg, Sweden, where we are, there's canals all over, and I was immediately drawn to the water. I'm a nature person, not a city person, and so there's all this beautiful city around, and I just went straight to the water, and I saw ducks in there, and I just stopped and watched them for a few in the sunshine, because it was cold this morning when we went out, everybody was bundled up, and we only had, 200 meters to walk in the first 10 minutes, and I was actually amazed that it took me 10 minutes to do that, because it seems like that's a long time to, you can literally see where you're supposed to walk, and you have 10 minutes to get there, and just, what's next? What's next? What's next? And I kept, going to different spots of sunshine. The sunshine was always attracting me, and so I let myself just kind of go with that.
Well, it's really, that one is about awakening your inner compass, and I think that's a really nice one. It's about listening, really, to what your instinct is telling me, should I go there or should I go there? And I think it's really a great way to engage with your environment and your surroundings.
And to listen to yourself, because we were in a group of 10 and we're in the middle of a city. And so there were plenty of other people, there were trams, there were bikes, lots of, what is your inner compass? Where will that guide you?
So that was the first one.
Yeah.
The second one was the one that I think most people find the most challenging.
Yeah.
And Jackie was like, this one is making me already anxious because the prompt is slow down.
Yeah. And this one, and I think this one we had 100 meters.
Right.
To the next meeting point, basically. And we had 10 minutes to get there. So what are you going to do,
But really, what I like to tell people when I give them this prompt is slow down the way you're walking, of course, the way you're thinking.
Yeah.
Slow down the rate your hair is growing, your nails are growing. Just slow everything down. And it ends up being a walking meditation of sorts. It's also to do with clearing up your mental chatter. We're always talking to ourselves, the monkey mind idea, so this is really about slowing down and challenging yourself to something different.
How long can you possibly take to cross one block, basically?
So that was a slow down. That was a second prompt.
I was the last person to arrive at that too. I was like, what happened? Everyone's early.
I was like, wow, that was making her anxious.
I know.
But there she is walking. And it ends up, it's a really fun one because it ends up looking like a zombie meetup, basically, where this group of people are walking very slowly. It looks like some kind of a sect. So it's always really fun, that one. The third one is, this is an interesting one because I sometimes interchangeably use two prompts. The one I used today was sense the story.
Sense the story.
And the idea there is to tap into the unfolding narrative that's happening all around us. Everything around us is a story. So it's really about finding that story, noticing that story, paying attention to what's happening around you. So that's the one I use. But I also sometimes have in the past used notice the patterns. And with that one, people clue into the visual, right? They start seeing signs and things and street art. But I like the sense of the story a lot because it is really about that unfolding narrative of our lives. And I think you had an interesting experience there.
Yeah, that was... Oh, man. I actually share a little bit more about this later, so maybe I won't get too much into it. But it ended up being less about... It was strange because for me it wasn't... So I couldn't pay attention so much about what was happening outside, externally. I wasn't seeing people in their stories. I was seeing my story reflected in everything that I saw. which is really interesting, I think. I am struggling with this whole, like, idea of, not struggling, but I often think of this idea of home, and I just see myself at home here, you know, right. And I'm like, wait, what's going on? I have a home now, and I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, definitely.
But I can see that, like, you were looking at it from the inside out.
Yeah.
Know? Sometimes people look at it from the outside in, but it can work many different ways. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That is the third one. And then the last one, the fourth one was, and this is also tricky for some people.
Yeah.
I try to say, leave your inner cynic here.
Yeah.
Because that fourth prompt is, see the beauty in everything.
This is so cool, though, because, okay, we've heard this before. We've heard, see the beauty in everything. Have you ever actually tried to do that? Like, spent 10 minutes focusing on just actually seeing the beauty in everything, because it works when you do it. If that's all you're focusing on for 10 minutes of your life, you see beauty everywhere. And again, I was drawn to, I mean, as soon as we walked away, there was this beautifully sunlit, you know, just corner of the canal that then once I got there, I realized there were lily pads in the water and there was sun sparkling on the water. And there was this really cool installation that I don't know what it was about, but it had all these little tiny shoes in steel, like a sculpture in the middle of this thing that I hadn't even noticed. And there was a street lamp that was art. It was like twisted. It was like a sculpted street lamp with a piece, like a giant wizard's staff almost, like a piece of glass on top that it wasn't like any of the other ones. I don't think I would have noticed that had I not been just paying attention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's about creating a warm, loving relationship with your environment, really. Mm-hmm. And we like to say with street wisdom that if you love the environment will love you right back. Mm-hmm. And I think it really works that way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I noticed when I was walking around, I looked inside a canal and there was all this garbage floating.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, that's so ugly, you know, that was my first instinct. And I was like, well, let's try to see the beauty in this. So I took a photo, and suddenly when I saw the composition, I was like, they look like flowers, these like plastic water bottles.
Yeah.
And, you know, it looked beautiful. Mm-hmm. And it's really about a shift in perception.
Right.
You just need to shake up the way you perceive the world around you a little.
Yeah.
So that was the last prompt. And that's basically the four prompts.
Yeah. And then, so that's the first 40 minutes or so.
Yeah, like with the introduction, it's about an hour, typically. And then I send you out on your own individual quests, and each one of the people has, by that point, hopefully, a question they want to have answered.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I try to help the people formulate their question, because sometimes people can get a little bit confused. Again, it shouldn't be too big. And people go out on their own. And what I like to tell them is, really try to see what the streets are telling you. Like, see if there are any little clues. It's like basically putting together a puzzle. It's also about engaging all your senses. Like, so smell things. Like, see if the smell triggers something. Look at the signs. Look at the billboards. Like, if you see a stranger who looks kind of inviting, ask them the question.
Ask them your question.
Exactly.
See what their answer is.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, ask them. It's really about opening up to the environment. I mean, it's... there's so much latent wisdom, and it's just tapping into that wisdom that I think we need to do, and it's very simple.
It's so simple, and you can do it anywhere.
Yes.
You said you hadn't tried it in nature yet, but I mean, completely believe that can happen in nature. Usually my meditation is when I'm running, but I feel like with these prompts, it's helpful, because it actually like slows you down and helps you kind of, it helps you meditate on it, I guess, in a way. It's just like a guided walking meditation.
Exactly.
That's what it is.
And it's taking time out of your regular life.
Exactly.
It's taking yourself out of the ordinary, and it's almost like you enter a parallel world that could be happening.
It's happening simultaneously all the time. Yeah, it's just paying attention.
Yep.
Yeah, when we went out for the 1 hour, I mean, honestly, at the very beginning of that hour, I thought, this is a long time, like in the middle of a conference to be like taking an hour, and oh my goodness, I don't know where that thought came from, because I'm so glad we did that. You know, like I haven't had much downtime. This is a constant, you know, how conferences go. And so sitting in that garden, just in the sun, just like soaking up the sun, watching the ducks in the fountain, like playing in the fountain. Little kids were walking by and like people, and it was so silent. It was so nice. And that hour flew. And I had a coffee like by myself. It was so It was like such a treat to be able to do that.
Yep.
In the middle of wild.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So. And I feel that people really, when they do take that time, which feels like a privilege, mm-hmm. it feels like you're stealing time, right?
Yeah. That's and I almost felt guilty. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what it was. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. But then when you do.
Yeah.
And you almost gift that time to yourself.
Yes.
You can have really pretty major personal breakthroughs.
Yeah.
And I think over the years that I've now done Street Wisdom, people have had really major questions answered. And it's quite magical in that sense. And there's no real magic to it, but there is.
Right. Yeah. And we, so that's the second hour. And then in the third hour.
We share.
Yeah.
We share what happened. Mm-hmm. And our participants now just shared. And there were some really interesting stories there.
Yeah.
And I felt that people walked away with a little more knowledge, I feel, of what they need.
Mm-hmm.
Like there was a sense of like, oh, I didn't realize I needed this, but now I think I realize and I found out and I can address it now. So it's a very, in a way, it ends up being a practical tool. But I also said, I was just talking to somebody about Street Wisdom who did it last year at the summit in Tuscany. And I said, it's almost like you have a toolbox and you're like learning all these things and you're putting tools away. But then you remember, like, one day you're dealing with some issue and you're like, oh, there's that tool that I can use. And you go to the toolbox and you pull it out and like, oh, so that's Street Wisdom. It's one of the tools.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the answer is, it's like, you can find it on your own.
Right.
And it doesn't matter where you are or who you're with or not with.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just need a couple of little prompts.
Yep.
To send you out on your own, and the rest is up to you.
Yeah.
So the magic is up to you.
Right. And it happens, man. We had, I think there was a sense at the table afterwards, everyone who shared was like, had the same look on their face with like raised eyebrows and kind of just like enlightened almost.
Mm-hmm.
Like they were just watching something unfold before their eyes that was from another dimension.
Exactly.
And everyone's story, like the time and the coin on the tracks and the intersection of the bikes. I mean, like seeing all the bikes and wondering whose bike is this and where did they come from and where are they going? And like, that's the moment when your life crosses theirs, you know, and like, you never know who they are. I don't know. It's just
It was so many.
Interesting
and even
to
like,
just have this conversation.
I know. Yeah. I love it. And even there was somebody who noticed all these chewing gums on the floor and she was like, oh, I wonder who was chewing this gum?
Yeah, exactly.
And I mean, it's really an interesting
Have you
way of
ever
thinking.
Had that thought before? Yeah.
Yeah. It allows you to have these thoughts.
Right.
It creates a space. It's a container. It creates a beautiful space where people can just be themselves and they can feel what they need at that point in their lives.
Love it. Well, thank you for this experience.
Yeah,
and thank you for sharing with everybody. I hope the audio comes through okay. But and good luck. You're about to do it again in like half an hour.
I know. I need to eat fast.
Okay,
now.
Great. All right. Thank you so much,
Jackie.
Anya.
Okay, so now you've heard the basis of what Street Wisdom is about. And by the way, you can find Anya at everthenomad.com or on Instagram, everthenomad. And you can find more about Street Wisdom at streetwisdom.org if you want to learn more about it. So we were a group of 10 people who did this together. We spent the first hour doing the prompts that you just heard and the second hour on our own. And then we came back together in the third hour to share what we experienced. And I brought the microphone for that part. And of course, I asked permission to the group to share. So you're about to hear from Phil, who had quite an interesting story to tell after his hour on his own. So we can give a shout out and a thanks to Phil for allowing me to share his part of the story on the show with you guys. And you'll hear a little bit from me as well. And Anya is the other voice that you're going to hear in this piece. So we are inside a cafe in the hotel. So I apologize for the background noise. But here we go with the group sharing.
I would just like to hear what happened. If anybody had any experiences, any powerful experiences, sounds like we have at least one or two experiences here that came out as a result of this little mind and reality altering walk. So did you want to maybe start?
Sure. So I was just saying I've really enjoyed this little experience and it made me I think I said a couple of times it's a little bit different than what I was expecting, but I've enjoyed it. And I guess the question I was being forced to answer, or, you know, to contemplate and to try and throw around is, you know, I've been having these sort of feelings of guilt for living away from my folks who are getting, mum and dad who are getting, you know, getting older, right? And they're in good health and, you know, we're not that far away, but there's this feeling of guilt about, you know, I've got two girls and they're not sort of seeing their grandparents, which they love dearly, as much as what maybe they could if we were living, you know, in the same town or same country. So I've gone through a whole range of different questions and so forth, and it's just like I don't think I should feel any guilt or should feel any... And guilt's a very strong word, so I've been even trying to break that word down to... Because my mum and dad are not vindictive or they're not holding that against us at all. I mean, they're both mad big travellers and, you know, they're very supportive and we have a very close relationship. But I still harbour these types of, you know, thoughts. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but in and amongst sort of having these types of internal conversations, I was also got sort of possibly a little bit distracted on the slow down piece. Mm-hmm. And I put a coin, I think I was explaining to you, I put a coin on the train track and then on the tram. And then the tram went over and I was like, oh, that's nice, you know, that's pretty cool. It sort of flattened my coin, you know, exactly what I wanted.
Yeah.
And then I was walking along later on in the final session. And I was looking at the tram lines and I was looking at there was a big mural with the three people running. Did you notice that? And I was sort of looking at these things and sort of trying to find answers and looking at things. And I was like, oh, here comes another tram. I'll put my coin down again on the tram track and see it get run over for a second time. And I'm standing there and this man walks up, looks down, sees the coin on the ground and picks it up. And I'm like, excuse me, that's my coin. And the tram's about to come. And he got really angry and picked it up and was just like, you can't do that, and threw it. And it was heading into the canal and it bounced off a tree and landed like 2 feet from the edge of the canal.
That's crazy.
And I was thinking to myself, am I like trying to derail trains in my brain? Am I trying to, like, are there blockages in what I'm doing? And, you know, a tiny sort of little thing is possibly sort of stopping me on the novelty or something. But anyway, I felt a little bit intimidated by this man, you know, the little confrontation. And he was straight onto his phone and I thought, you know, is he calling the police? I mean, and then I actually thought, could I derail a train? Am I doing something really dangerous, which this guy's doing his best to try and prevent? But I Googled and you can't derail a tram by a coin. That's a complete, you know, it's crazy. And I had a good giggle to myself, but it sort of added a whole new element of questioning.
Right, but did you know, like, when as you're talking, what I'm thinking is that guilt is such a powerful emotion.
Yes.
And I think a lot of us don't realize how much power it can have on our lives. And what you were trying to answer with your question about feeling guilty for not being there for your parents is, in a way, are you blocking yourself from moving on in life by feeling this guilt? So in a way, the coin was a symbol of your guilt.
And it just got squished.
You know, exactly. Well, anyway, and you're like, okay, I should not feel guilty because it's life. And it's, you know.
It came back to you, too.
Exactly.
And it came back.
Didn't
that's true.
To the canal.
Exactly. And I have the absolute support of my family and my parents. You know, there's no reason.
So this was
the
answer. And it happened through an actual story, like an narrative, you know.
An actual action.
And yes.
And with proof.
And with other participants, with this man who showed up magically too.
Yeah.
And was he older, the man?
Yeah.
So see, like he was like, you can't do that. You can't, you know, leave your parents alone. But you're like, well, you know, I can, because, you know, this is life. It's a cycle of life, you see.
And, you know, I was looking at this big mural and the train lines, you know, the above the road train lines, and it's like they're all heading off in different directions, but they're all heading in the same, you know, direction. Yeah. And I'm like, we all do this, but we all eventually end up, hopefully, it's all moving forward.
Exactly.
Wow. That's so powerful.
It has been. That's right. I mean, and I do feel better, absolutely better for this experience.
Mm.
And I thought we were going to be learning about storytelling for our relevant companies, not growing as individuals and focusing on yourself. So I've really really enjoyed it. So thank you, Anya. And,
thank you for sharing. It's amazing.
Pleasure. No,
don't
it's
lose
awesome.
Sight.
No.
Keep that coin.
And the time I did this the first time was in Zagreb.
Really?
Yeah.
Two years ago.
Yeah.
What another connection.
Yeah, absolutely.
Crazy. Yeah,
with my daughter. And I was... I had made a little movie, like literally I was just like to my daughter Poppy, I was like, hey Pops, check this out. And I put this for the second time and it squished, and then the whole thing came out with the man, and I was just like, goodness.
Wow.
Anyway,
so amazing.
Thank you.
Amazing, yeah.
Thank you for letting me bore you with a few minutes.
No, this is exciting to hear. Did you want to share it, Jackie?
Yeah, sure. This is interesting for me because it was in the second walk. Mm-hmm. Not the second one. That was Slow Down. The third one was Sense the Story. Mm-hmm. And what was really strange is, I don't know if it's my lack of sleep or lack of coffee yet or what, but I was like looking around and trying, I'm like, I kept forgetting what we were doing. I'm like, oh yeah, Sense the Story. And I'm like, the only thing that came to me very suddenly was my own story. Like, not what I was looking, I was like trying to like find the story. And all of a sudden I had this feeling of like, it's a very strange feeling to feel very at home and miss my home at the same time. And I had like this moment of like, I talk about home a lot, like as a traveler, you know, especially as I've been nomadic for like a few years now, and I just went home, like to have like a place again. And I love that. But there's a piece of me that's always lived abroad. And here I am in this foreign city, and I'm looking at all these cafes thinking like, oh, I could work there. Like, I would sit there. And I would, yeah, and I saw like that Zara home store, and I'm like, I didn't even know Zara had a home store. You know, I'm just kind of walking around, and all of a sudden I was like, what do I do? Like, I am torn because I want to be at my home in Montana, but I have, like, part of me lives abroad. And so I just suddenly felt torn. Like, it stopped me in my tracks, this feeling. And so when we were then supposed to ask ourselves a question, my question was way too deep. It was like, what do I do about this? You know, like, what is my home? But it wasn't. So then I went to the garden, mm-hmm. and I sat down with a latte in the sunshine, and I was just watching people. There were fountains. There were rose bushes everywhere. It was absolutely gorgeous. The birds were singing, and it was so quiet. Like, all you could hear really were, like, faint conversations, footsteps, and then I realized my other question, really way more pressing, was what my next podcast would be, which is supposed to be produced in a week. And I had the answer immediately because I want to do this. I wanted to share this. And so that's why I went back and got my microphone. But that's like, if you produce a podcast every 2 weeks, maybe you'd understand how big of a deal that is to keep up with. And literally, I'm like a week out with no plan for next week. And I got my answer. And so
amazing.
Thank you for sharing your story, because if you don't mind, it's going to be on the show.
I love that. I think street wisdom is a really powerful way of tapping your creativity. I think it really, yes, I
totally.
Think it definitely opens up some creative, like, gets the creative juices flowing.
Yeah, and I want to share it. Right. I want to share that. Like, it's very, like you said, it's for everyone.
Yes.
Answers are everywhere.
Yes. And what I find really magical about it is this is maybe the eighth or the ninth time I've done it. And every time, like when people share at the end, people talk about things that are really important and burning in my life. Because I never walk with this. I never actually do street wisdom. I'm always facilitating, but people are getting through their answers, they're actually
helping you.
Yes. Because I have right now, my mom is not doing well, and there are lots of feelings of guilt. Home for me is a major issue, and has been since I left Croatia when I was 18.
Oh, man.
So basically, like, people are answering my questions, and I don't need to do anything. I'm like, wow, you know, and I feel closer to everybody.
Collective
wisdom.
You know?
Yeah.
Collective.
Yeah.
So, collect.
Yes. It's like almost making me cry now.
All right. So I only shared a couple of the stories because of the audio and the size of the group. It was just hard to hear everybody. But one thing that really stood out to me was that even though we were all in the same place, we all saw different things. We were drawn to different locations. We had such different experiences and got such different results out of doing this. And that is one of the things that makes this work, because you see what you need to see if you just pay attention, and it's going to be different from what the person next to you sees. So if you want to try doing street wisdom yourself, I'll just remind you quickly of the prompts that you can use for the first four 10-minute sessions. Those are: be drawn to what attracts you, slow down, sense the story, and see the beauty in everything. After those first 40 minutes or so, go on your own with a question that you'd like answered. And then if you're with a group, then after that hour, come back together to discuss what happened. It's pretty cool, and it's pretty simple, actually, and could be super profound, as we did find out in our group. It's definitely something that you need to carve out time for. And in our crazy, chaotic world, it's super easy to lose the feeling of enlightenment that you get from any one experience the moment that we leave it behind. But I do think that regarding this as a tool that you can take with you and draw upon to help tune in to your environment and pay attention to things you wouldn't normally notice is a really great resource. So I hope that you enjoy it. If you do try it out, let me know if you do. So that is it for the verbal, I suppose, content of this episode. But I have one last thing that I'm going to play for you if you'd like to stick around to listen to it. While I was sitting in the garden, listening to the fountain, the birds, footsteps, distant chatter of people, I hit record on my phone and just took a sound clip right there from the middle of the garden in the sunshine. And I know you can't see it, but perhaps you can imagine a beautiful garden with flowers in bloom, with multiple dirt and gravel pathways going through it. I sat at a table that belonged to the cafe immediately behind me, where I got a latte and enjoyed it by myself in the sunshine. You couldn't see any buildings or streets from the middle of this garden, even though we were right in the middle of the city. So if you want to listen for a few minutes, I'll invite you to join me in the Swedish garden in the middle of Gothenburg. Thank you guys so much for being here, and I will see you in the next episode.